This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Daily Digest. I'm T. Xiao Yik with Sumitra Selvaraj and Lim Soo Ann in the studio. Earlier this hour, we discussed a news report that Johor Menteri Besar Datuk Dr. Sarudin Jamal recently urged people to use Bahasa Malaysia to promote new technologies and innovation. So we discussed, where Bahasa is, especially in terms of new jargon and
whether it has
terminology.
Enough of a lexicon to refer to. Yeah.
That's right. We'll be going to our second story now, but to lead us into that, we have a poll on Twitter for you.
We're asking you who should be held responsible for the transboundary haze. So 55% of you voted that it should be the plantation owner or companies. 40% of you said the Indonesian government, while 4% said the Malaysian government. So you can take that poll or share any of your thoughts by tweeting us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or you can also call us at 03-7733-2900.
Yes, so the annual haze is here again, and with it, the same discussions about intergovernmental actions, which are rehashed every year. As always, the haze is a result of open burning, many of them in peatlands where farmers slash and burn to clear the lands, which is the fastest way for them to clear it, although obviously not the best way to do it. And most of the fire hotspots identified today are in the provinces of Riau, Jambi, South Sumatra, Lampung, and many other areas of Kalimantan. And this year, Indonesia is really struggling to curb these fires due to a longer than usual dry season.
I don't know about the both of you, but the weather is really making me cranky. Just the whole idea of it being so grey and gloomy. And awful.
There is a direct effect, isn't there?
Absolutely. And apparently, I'm not the only one who's feeling a little cranky because there is a public spat between our Minister of Energy, Science, Technology and Environment and Climate Change, Yobin, and Indonesia's Environment and Forestry Minister, Siti Nurbaya Bakar, over the origin of the haze.
Yeah, Indonesia was saying it didn't come from us, and then Yobin said, well, obviously it's coming from you.
But why are we even doing a little spat over this when we have regional mechanism in place to address the haze? In the form of the ASEAN Agreement on Transboundary Haze Pollution, or the AATHP, which was signed in 2002 between Indonesia, Singapore and Malaysia. Has everybody forgotten about that?
Well, no, but I think it's... I should say yes and no. It's there. I think people don't talk about it or can't bring it up as a tool because, well, it's been there since 2002 and it's not worked. So I think people have just perhaps...
Definitely. Yeah. You couldn't possibly say it's effective in any way, shape or form. And look at the haze outside.
Well, so some parties have proposed looking beyond that ASEAN agreement and pushing for more immediate action through legal strategies.
Yeah, so let's look at one that's been reported recently in the news. First, a group of 24 Malaysian professionals comprising doctors, lawyers, academics, social activists and economists have proposed suing the Indonesian government. And so their proposal is that Malaysia initiates a lawsuit against Indonesia at the International Court of Justice for the symbolic value of 1 ringgit and a legally binding perpetual commitment to prevent future forest fires.
I haven't read up on this. Do you have any idea why 1 ringgit?
For three reasons. First, they can't put an actual concrete figure to it because you can't calculate the exact damages. So it's really symbolic. It's to put an arbitrary number to it, but to make it legally binding in that sense, then.
100 million also sounds quite arbitrary to me.
So the rationale for this group for proposing this is that the Indonesian government retains the sovereignty and political, technical and legal capabilities to fight these fires, and the lawsuit thus imposes legal responsibility upon the government. 100 million, you say? I mean, once you start putting a huge number to it, I guess...
It becomes prohibitive?
It becomes a political, geopolitical dispute then,
So we actually also have other legal actions that have been proposed by various parties, which are for the Malaysian government to penalise any Malaysian entities which is involved in any of these activities that contribute towards the haze. So this is much like our neighbouring Singapore's Transboundary Haze Pollution Act 2014. So that act was enacted in September 2014 in Singapore, and it incurs hefty fines of up to $2 million, which is about 6 million ringgit.
Mm.
And quite a few lawyers agree with this proposal, right? Constitutional lawyer Surendra Anand told the Malay Mail that the parent companies will use the separate legal entity arguments to avoid liability. But he also said there are currently a number of cases that are being litigated around the world where parent companies are made liable for human rights violations of their subsidiaries in other states.
Yeah. So joining us on the line now is Meenakshi Raman, president of the of Sahaba Alam Malaysia, to look at the viability of these proposed legal actions. Meenakshi, firstly, can you share your thoughts on the intergovernmental efforts at the diplomatic level to address the haze issue so far?
Well, we all are aware of the ASEAN Transboundary Haze Agreement of 2002, which actually only came into effect in 2014 when Indonesia got on board. And since then, there has been a roadmap to actually make ASEAN free by 2020. But as we can see, not much has been happening because despite the agreement and despite diplomatic meetings between ministers of environment and so on, there doesn't seem to be any ability to combat the haze problem. So many people have actually said that the ASEAN agreement actually is weak because it doesn't have a dispute settlement mechanism or enforcement capability, actually, because a lot of the agreement depends upon member states to enforce their own national laws, and the agreement doesn't interfere into the domestic affairs of a country. So I think this is why we are in such a sad state, because we are actually relying on Indonesia to do much of the action on the ground, and we are feeling the effects. So there has been a lot of frustration. Yesterday I saw the President Jokowi himself coming on TV to say there has been negligence on the side of the Indonesian government. So it's good that he is taking interest in this and actually even saying that Indonesia is culpable for this. But of course, we hope that with that more can be done. But I think at the moment, the diplomatic efforts appear to be the only way forward.
Meenakshi, let's look at some of the immediate measures that are being done to address the fires. Indonesia has sealed off plantations operated by 29 companies, including 4 subsidiaries of Malaysian groups and 1 Singaporean firm, after fires were detected in their concessions. What are your thoughts on this move?
I think we have no choice but to rely on these actions. It's good that the Indonesian government is acting. Of course, to what extent they are actually able to combat the problem remains questionable, because this is not, as we know, this is a perennial problem. And as we also know, a lot of the issues actually revert around the issue of enforcement and the different kind of actions that are being taken with many, with different laws involved, with the provincial authorities being responsible for a lot of it. So there are a lot of governance issues in Indonesia itself.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that the central government can act, but it can only act insofar as the provincial governments also act. And so these are actually very difficult issues and challenges that Indonesia obviously is facing. We also have also learned that from many of our counterparts, our NGO counterparts in Indonesia itself, allegations of corruption are quite rampant. Courts that do not take the problem seriously and let off the companies with fines, and on appeal they get away. So these are enforcement challenges, and that do not seem to be, you know, going away. So I do think that we need to, ASEAN actually has to step up. We need to put pressure to make sure that Indonesia is able to improve a lot of the enforcement, and also get rid of the graft issues, and also do much more than what it is doing at the moment.
Agreed. And now looking at some of the possible legal actions that can be taken, what do you think about the idea of taking to court Malaysian entities that are involved in activities that contribute to the haze?
Well, I think that is really important. I think if Malaysian companies abroad or their subsidiaries are actually responsible for these activities, as we have heard, it's important for the government of Malaysia to act, because we cannot be exporting our problem. So actually we do think that there is merit in having a strong law, Malaysian law, very much like Singapore, on the transboundary haze problem, where actually companies, Singaporean companies, if they are guilty of some of these actions abroad, they can be action can be taken in Singapore itself, including non-Singapore-based companies. Of course, the point is actually how far can we enforce these things, or how much can we prove in Malaysian courts in relation to the guilty actions of the parties, because if there are crimes that are being committed in Indonesia, we do require the cooperation of the Indonesian government in terms of evidence. Mm-hmm. So it is a challenge, but I do think the law would be a useful way forward in terms of making it very deterrent for our own companies to behave this way abroad. So we do need to explore this, because this is only this one domestic measure that we can do, just as Singapore has done, which is in our hands. But of course, this requires the collaboration of the Indonesian government.
Have any companies ever been taken to court in Singapore under their law?
I am not aware, because a lot of it, as I said, do require actual evidence. For instance, one of the problems that have been posed is actually about where exactly this burning takes place. Is there a map? Are there evidence on the ground in terms of not just what you see via satellite, but actually the concession maps, and to show the boundaries of the companies and what concessions they hold? Mm-hmm. Now, these are not easy to get until and unless Indonesia cooperates. I understand that many years ago there was a proposal for actually a one map initiative, where the Indonesian government was supposed to actually make available concession maps of companies, so that in issues like this, they are able to share with the ASEAN member states. Mm-hmm. So I do think that this is one thing that needs to be done urgently, that one map initiative, or maps that are made available so that we exactly know which are the companies having concessions, and we can superimpose them with the hotspots and so on, which you can really see, which can therefore then make evidence in court a lot more possible. Mm-hmm. The other, of course, is there's supposed to be a host country agreement with Indonesia under the ASEAN Haze Agreement to actually have a center in Indonesia itself, which is an ASEAN center, which will help in the enforcement efforts of the haze problem. I think this is finally something that we need to push urgently, because apparently it was agreed to last year. There was a host agreement signed with Indonesia. Mm-hmm. We need to find out to what extent this is already taking shape. So we need to push this as well. Because if you have an ASEAN center in Indonesia, which is on the ground, therefore it will have access to information, including in making it much more easy for ASEAN member states to actually have access to information. Because I think the issue is really of one of information, issue is one of cooperation, and issue is one of enhancing enforcement capability.
So another proposal is for the Malaysian government to sue the Indonesian government for ringgit 1 and then legally compel them to take responsibility. What are your thoughts on this?
Actually, I don't think it will work, because the problem is this. First of all, there are legal issues whether the Indonesian government will subject itself to the ICJ, International Court of Justice jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. So, because only then you can hold another state responsible. But I think this is really a move that may be counterproductive, because what's critical at this particular point in time is the cooperation of the government of Indonesia. If we have to rely on them and we have to cooperate with them, then I think pressure by member states in enforcing the the measures that I have mentioned in terms of getting their cooperation is really most important. So if you take a legal case at this juncture, even if it at the moment doesn't seem viable, but even if one did, then it will only give rise to confrontation rather than cooperation. So I think that's not really a good move. I think we need to step up further diplomatic efforts, because after all, ASEAN is supposed to actually help each other. So if we can't do that, then this is really a fundamental problem among the member states itself. So I do think that that we need to move and act in a diplomatic way rather than a confrontational way. And since the president of Indonesia has given his word and is himself in the ahead of the challenge, so I do think that all efforts have to be made to make sure that Indonesia can deliver. So that would require fundamental changes to its governance system, its laws, its enforcement capability, and pushing the courts themselves not to be lenient and get rid of the graft question.
So from Sabah Alam Malaysia's perspective, what would you like to add in terms of a long-term solution?
Well, a lot of us on the NGO, the civil society, for instance, Sabah Alam Malaysia is part of Friends of the Earth International, and we have our partner in Indonesia, WALHI, which is our Indonesian counterpart of Friends of the Earth. Mm-hmm. And we are working on the ground with them. I mean, they have been taking the government of Indonesia and the companies to court. They have been pushing as much as they can. They have been doing research and conducting exposés. And you can see in today's media a lot of the frustrations expressed by the Indonesian NGOs themselves. So at the civil society movement, we are working on the ground with them to make sure that we put pressure. So it's not just appealing to member states to act, but civil society on the ground, we are acting and we are cooperating. And of course, we can do it much better in terms of helping the Indonesian NGOs actually hold their government to account. So these are things that we will step up on our end.
Thank you very much, Meenakshi. That was Meenakshi Rahman, President of Sabah Alam Malaysia, weighing in on the options that our government can take. Mm-hmm. And turning now to specifically to that proposal to hold Indonesia accountable in the International Court of Justice, we have on the line Dr. Kaur Swee-King, one of the signatories to that letter. Dr. Kaur, what is your response to the feedback that the ASEAN Agreement on Transboundary Haze Pollution does not provide for disputes to be sent to the ICJ?
If the law does not allow us to bring Indonesia to the International Court of Justice, and I think that's fine, we should then consider the creation of a new law that will allow us to assign responsibility to the people who are truly responsible. This is more than just Indonesia, frankly. This is perhaps the opening skirmish in the larger war against climate change. What I mean to say is two things. Number one, the law is a man-made object. And if our previous laws that are decades old and centuries old are not equipped to let us handle cross-boundary problems, then we need new laws. And here I would require my lawyer friends to come up with constructive, innovative, bold legal solutions, even for laws that don't exist. That's my first new point. My second new point is the following. Again, this is more than just the haze between Malaysia and Indonesia. This is really a small symptom of the broader fight against climate change. If two countries who are Bangsa Serumpun and otherwise have great relationships are not able to come to a consensus on a problem of some open fires, then we will not be able to get 8 billion people, 195 countries, including some sworn enemies, to fight together against climate change. The issue is not only the haze, the issue is also our fight against extinction. So in summary, my response would be to thank the lawyers, but also to implore perhaps them to come up with bold and innovative legal solutions for us to assign responsibility where it is due. Because the lessons that we learn in the Southeast Asia haze crisis can be expanded to our global species-wide fight against climate change.
So, Dr. Kaur, how far do you see your call for action going?
Well, I can't say I speak for the other 23 people who have signed the letter. And I think that's definitely a lot of political, legal, geopolitical and international diplomacy reasons that need to come into it. But I'll share the following thoughts as a private citizen and speaking only for myself. The first one is that nobody's anti-anyone in the sense that the enemy is the haze. The enemy is our own extinction as a species, and the enemy is definitely not Indonesia or anybody else who may be contributing to the haze. Secondly, the idea behind the lawsuit is to expand the public discourse to talk about solutions in the sense that we all know that the haze is problematic and hazardous to our health and economy, but there is still not enough discussion in the public domain about possible solutions. So with this particular proposal, this has engendered a lot of public discourse and new ideas are coming up, which is great. So I think in these two respects, we've probably achieved the intention of highlighting the need for effective solutions, including innovative legal ones.
Thanks for that brief update, Dr. Kaur. That was Dr. Kaur Swee King, one of the signatories to the proposal that we've been discussing. Among the several legal options, I think that the Malaysian government may have in its arsenal to take this to the next level. Mm. And
I do like what he said. The enemy is the haze, but that's not enough.
Yeah, I know. But also the fact that we just need to keep talking and looking for new solutions. Clearly, the old ones haven't gotten us anywhere.
I don't know. How long do you think we can keep talking for, Sherry? Look at it out there. I mean, schools are closing. Hospitals are seeing record number of admissions of respiratory cases. I almost think that the time for talking is over.
And we will get to some of your thoughts as well on social media about what you think needs to be done. But just a quick update on some API readings around the country. I just checked before we came in at about 1 p.m. It's 257 in Johan Setia Klang, 234 in Seri Aman Sarawak, 253 in Balik Pulau Pinang. But also a reminder, Kalimantan hit over 500 a few days ago. So things are a lot worse over there.
Sure.
So keep the conversation going. We will come back to some of your thoughts. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900. We'll be right back after a few messages.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Welcome back to The Daily Digest. I'm Tishao Ik with Lim Soo Ann and Sumitra Selvaraj in the studio. We've discussed two stories this hour.
And on our first story, we were talking about the Johor Menteri Besar's urge to call on people to use Bahasa Malaysia to speak, to promote technologies. And we spoke to Hanif Bahruddin, who produces and presents Bila Larut Malam, to get his insights on using media to using new words in BM through media and how that will help towards, you know, familiarising people with these words. Or whether it will actually work or not. So we received quite a few comments on this. We have Benji on WhatsApp who says that I don't think we're ready for BM to promote new technology. Promoting BM is good, but execution needs to be better. And plus, if we add Bahasa Indonesia in the mix as well, we're not a jago kampung.
Okay.
So we have another WhatsApp from Ikwan saying, on the BM issue, kudos to Bila Larut to BFM for Bila Larut Malam. I really like
it. I do too. I think it's a great show. Download all the podcasts.
Yes. And we also have a second story, shall we?
Okay, all right. Yes, in our second story... the haze is getting to me. Yes, so
we're going to be using that as an excuse a lot today.
We're looking outside our windows and it's terrible. It looks apocalyptic out there. And so we were talking about, we know the haze is bad. We know, that somebody needs to take responsibility. And we were basically exploring some of the suggestions that have been reported in the media as to whether we can go beyond the diplomacy route now. If the ASEAN agreement on the transparency boundary hazes isn't getting us anywhere. Can we take people to court? Can we take the Indonesian government to court? Can we take Malaysian companies or plantation companies that are involved in any slash and burn activities over there to court? So our discussion earlier was looking at the viability of those actions as solutions.
And on Twitter, we had a poll going where we were asking you who should be held responsible for the transboundary haze. So 54% of you voted that it should be the plantation owners or companies. 42% of you said the Indonesian government, while 4% said the Malaysian government. So we received quite a few tweets and WhatsApps. Quite a few of you on Twitter said that it should be all of the above. So Malaysian, Indonesian governments, as well as the plantation owners. Another person says that the Indonesian government has to start with it. They have to deal with their own citizens and companies that are causing all the burnings. We also have WhatsApps from Ikwan from Rawang saying that the blame is on Indonesia, the enforcement is too weak. And so looking back to the Garuda flight that crashed in 1997 and the haze that happened that year,
was it actually caused by the haze?
I think it's a bit hard to make that link, to link it to the crash. But the sentiment here is clear that it's happened, and you can't deny it. All you have to do is look at the satellite visuals to know where the fires are happening. And I think the number was something like 11,000 forest fires in Indonesia, if I'm not mistaken. Please don't quote me on that, because there are lots of numbers floating around. But you know, some people are also questioning why would we say that the Malaysian government should be held responsible.
I think it's a good point. If you know, I would have voted Malaysian government. I'm not pointing fingers here. I'm just saying that as a citizen of Malaysia, I want my government to step forward and say, we're going to sort this out for you, because clean air is a right of all Malaysians, all global citizens for that matter.
Yes, that's right. Are there? Okay, we thank you so much for weighing in on these two stories, and I hope all of you will stay safe and wear the N95 mask if you're going to be out and about. And if you missed any part of the show this hour, you can download the podcast on bfm.my/dailydigest, on our BFM app, or on Spotify. Coming up after the 3 o'clock news, very soon on Live and Learn, Sumitra will be talking to the Malaysian member of an all-female crew that's going to sail around the world to trace the effects of plastics on oceans. So continuing that conversation about environment. Thanks for listening to us here on The Daily Digest. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.